So today I'm not here thinking that I'm going to teach you guys anything because, you know, I'm pretty noob to this thing. And, you know, I'm still currently in the thick of it, you know, of striving. And I was hoping what I could do today was that I would be able to share my journey with you. And as I share this journey with you, as you hear this, I hope that it can be an encouragement and that it can be a blessing to you. Amen. All right, so I realized that for the past couple of months that I entered into this season where I was doing major surgery in my life. And what do I mean by that? You know, it's not that God's like taking a knife, like literally, and doing surgery on you. But spiritually, what I mean when I say God is doing surgery on you, it's a time in your life where you enter a certain time where your like certain unhealthiness in your life starts to come to the surface. And it keeps rising to the top again and again and again, and it gets to the point where you just can't ignore it anymore. And I'm not sure if you ever noticed this in your own lives too, but I believe when that happens, this is God trying to grab your attention. And he's grabbing your attention because he's saying to you that he wants to, he wants to perform surgery on you. It's time for surgery. It's time to finally get healed from this, and it's time to finally be free from it. And I'm not sure if any of us here are in that type of season today, but if you are, I encourage you not to run away from it or not to try to cover it up, but I encourage you highly to surrender everything to the Lord. Because unless God goes in and he starts to extract this unhealthiness from your life, you know, and something that only God can do, you'll never be able to experience the joy and the peace that comes from being free from it. And so for me, once again, God has been revealing this part of me that has been striving. And for those who don't really know me, in the past year, I went through a lot of different transitions in my life. And it's through these transitions that I embarked on this journey of, and also with BGM together, we started to deeply pursue after God. And not just pursue just him, but we want to deeply pursue the things on his heart as well. And what came with this was daily surrender, you know, daily devotion, Bible devotionals, weekly fasts, like praying every moment that I got. And I knew at the back of my mind that I was doing a good thing. You know, I was pursuing after God and the things of his heart. But at the same time, I knew that something wasn't quite right. I remember about a month ago, at work, during my lunch break, what I usually do is I like to not really eat with my coworkers because I'm just really introverted. But what I like to do is I like to go into my car and I like to use that time to spend time with the Lord. And it's been like a daily rhythm for me. What I do is I go into my car, read the Bible, I pray, and I spend that time with the Lord. So just the same way, about a month ago, I opened up my Bible. I went to my car, I opened up my Bible, and I started reading. I wanted to read his word. And I remember I opened up the word, and I was just reading the first verse, and I just couldn't get past the first verse. I kept reading it again and again and again. And, you know, it's not because God was revealing something to me. It's because I just couldn't focus. I just can't right now. So I close the Bible, and I'm like, okay, so I can't focus right now, so maybe I'll pray. So I close my eyes, put my head back, and I start to pray. And then even in my prayer, I just couldn't get past the first sentence. I was like, what's going on with me? Why can't I pray? You know, I feel so weird. And I remember deeply struggling because I'm like, no, I need to take this time to pray and to read the Bible. So as I was struggling through this, it was at that moment I realized that I was completely burnt out. I was utterly, just completely tired, and honestly, it kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't even know that I was burnt out. And I just wanted to ask, like, has anybody experienced burnout here before? I'm sure a lot of people have, yeah. And it's not fun. It kind of sucks, you know? But I knew at that moment, like I said before, that God was trying to grab my attention. And he was grabbing my attention because what I realized was I was going at a pace where I couldn't even keep up with myself. For some reason, I believe with all my heart that if I prayed hard enough, if I read the Bible enough, if I was desperate enough, maybe God would notice me. Maybe he would use someone as flawed as me. And I remember I would read a lot of books on revival. I would read a lot of books on these great evangelists. And I would read about these great men and women of God doing amazing things for God. And I remember in my room, I would think to myself, I'm like, oh man, I want to be like them. You know, I didn't want to be a nobody, but I wanted to be somebody. I wanted to be a somebody that people actually looked up to. And I wanted to be someone that people actually remembered. And for one time in my life, I actually wanted to feel like I was useful. You know, I wanted to feel like people actually saw value in me. And all of this was coming from a place of brokenness in my past where all my life I grew up believing that I was a nobody. I believed that nobody really desired me, nobody really wanted me. I felt like I wasn't really good at anything. And I remember in school, I was growing up, you know, I was an outcast. So I was one of those, you know, guys that sat alone in the table, like in the lunchroom by himself. And I remember like so many people just like made fun of me again and again and put me down. And so then I would come home hoping to find some sort of refuge, right, from all that bullying and being made fun of. But when I came home, I felt like my dad didn't like me. I'm just like, how can my dad not like me, you know? I'm your son. And I felt that the biggest part was I felt that he was disappointed in me. And so somewhere along the line, I started to believe that I wasn't good enough. I stopped believing in the worth that God was telling me I had in him. But I started to believe in the lies that the world was telling me. And so I was desperate. You know, I was so desperate for words of affirmation, for love. So I started to strive. I started to perform. I started to please people. And whenever I received affirmation, you know, I would do one of those things where I'm like, no, it's not me, it's God. You know, I would do one of those things where I pet, it's not me, it's God, you know. And I would give like this whole like humble thing. But deep inside, I knew that I really longed for the affirmation. And I longed for the attention. And this is me being very vulnerable. Like, I don't really tell this to a lot of people. And I'm saying this not because I'm some sort of self-centered guy, some kind of egocentric guy, but the reason I was striving was because I had a hole in my heart. And I was desperate trying to find my worth. And I'm not sure if this comes as a shock to some of you. Like, I know you guys see me up there leading worship, and you're like, oh, this guy, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's pretty confident. But that's furthest from the truth. You know, it's really easy to hide it. But what's going on inside is I'm struggling. You know, I struggle too. I feel insecure. You know, I feel, and I wonder many times if God's actually using me. So can anyone relate to this today? Sometimes a lot of us, we come from broken homes where we never really got to find out what our true worth is. We grew up in families and situations where words of affirmations were lacking. So then we grew up with this deficit in our hearts. And we grew up believing that we were not good enough. And so what we start to do is we start to misplace our worth in other things in the world. We find our worth in places where we feel like actually we're actually good at something. We start to place our worth in places where we feel like we actually have value in. We start to place worth in things like work, status, reputation. And some of us, we find our worth in being a good mother and a good father, or being a good son and daughter to our parents, or being a good husband or wife. And some of us, we put our worth in being the provider for our families, right? But sometimes, just like me, we put our worth in what people think about us. You know, sometimes we care so much about what the people in our church think about us, what our friends and our peers think about us. And so then we strive and we work hard and we try so hard until we hit a point where we realize that we are completely burnt out and we are unhappy with our lives. Catalyst. God offers something better for us today, amen? My hope is that every single one of us here will be able to surrender to God and to allow God to reveal to us the areas in our life that we are striving. And as we do this, and as we fully surrender to the Lord, I believe with all my heart that God will bring us into a place of freedom. He will bring us into a place of joy and peace. Amen? All right, well, I wanted to jump into Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, can you turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42? And, you know, this is a Bible passage that hopefully we all know. It's a story about Mary and Martha, and I'm pretty sure you heard this before. If you don't have your Bibles, you can look up there, and we'll read this together. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. Now, just jumping straight into the scripture, we can see that Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem, and they decided to stop by Mary and Martha's house. And right off the bat, we can see that there are two very different responses from the two sisters, right? And Martha being the more responsible older sister and also the hostess of the home, what we see her doing is something that we all do. She started preparing and started frantically cooking for her guests, right? Versus we see Mary, the younger sister, all she does is she decides to sit by the feet of Jesus and just listens to his teachings. And even though their responses were completely different, what I believe is, as I read the scripture again and again, is that they were both equally doing their best in their own way to honor Jesus. And clearly, if you read on in the scripture, it's very clear that Jesus prefers what Mary is doing over what Martha was doing. And the more I read into this passage, I couldn't help it, but I feel for Martha. I don't know if anyone feels that. And I realized that I actually related to her more than Mary. You know, I kind of felt bad for her because I felt like her efforts were going unnoticed. And jumping back into my past, you see, I grew up in a household where I believed that love was a conditional thing. In order to receive love and affirmation, I had to work for it. And the times I would hear any words of affirmation from my dad would be when I did chores, like cutting the grass, shoveling the snow, helping him do construction work. And I honestly was not a good student. Like, I got like, it was so colorful. I got like A, B, C, D, and F, like all, you know, all across my grades. And I knew already that my dad was disappointed in me, because he would tell me, he's like, "What are you gonna do with your life? You know, you're getting like Fs." So what I would do to make it up was I would work harder in my chores to try to make him feel proud of me. So I remember one time it was during a winter time. I really, really wanted to impress my dad. I just really wanted to hear and just see his face of just being proud of me, you know? So what I did was I woke up at 4 a.m. and that night it snowed a lot. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to wake up early, and I'm going to shovel all the snow in the driveway. And then when my dad wakes up, he's going to see that it's clean. So proud of him. So what I did, once again, I woke up at 4 a.m. It was dark outside. It was super cold. I had like one little shovel, and I was shoveling the driveway. And I think it took me about like 2 hours to shovel the whole thing. And as I was shoveling, I was like anticipating what his face would look like. You know, when my dad saw that, I was like imagining like, oh, he's so proud of me. His face will be like lit up with, you know, happiness. And so I finished it, I came home, and then I waited eagerly for my dad to wake up. And so my dad woke up, he walks over to the window, he sees it. And do you know what happened? He didn't say anything. I didn't get any response from him. I didn't even get a good job, son, or a well done. None of that stuff. And I remember at that moment, I just felt so broken and so sad. And I felt angry and I felt bitter. And all those emotions mixed together at once. And I remember I worked so hard for it, but I ended up not getting anything back from him. So when I see Martha in this story, in her efforts towards Jesus, I see myself in her. You know, Martha believed that her worth was in what she can do and what she can offer to Jesus. But if you see further in the passage, Jesus says in verse 41, he says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one." And this part really spoke to me a lot. Because I believe that many of us, including me, we are worried and upset about many things in our life today. Sometimes we are stuck in this place where we feel like things are too hard to handle. And maybe we're struggling, some of us we're struggling financially. Maybe for some of us at our work, you know, our boss is just driving us crazy. Maybe you constantly feel that your life is not in the place that you want it to be right now. Or maybe you feel that you're just not good enough in all that you do. And it's through these struggles that I believe that we strive and we start to work, and we work harder and try harder, and that's what I did with my dad as well. I didn't get that response from him, so what I did was I tried harder, I worked harder. I would get out of my way to do things for him just to hear those words of affirmation. And I believe we do all this because at the core of it all, once again, we don't really know what our true worth is in God. And we keep searching for it in the wrong places. When you see the Lord is telling us today, what he spoke to Martha, he's saying to us, why are you so upset and worried? All you really need to do is one thing. All you need to do is sit here by my feet and remember who you are in me and remember your worth. You don't have to prove anything. Just sit here with me and I will remind you. You know, some of the most powerful encounters I had with the Lord was when I had nothing left to give to him. I was just in this place of complete brokenness and I would just sit at his feet. And those are some of the most amazing times I had with the Lord. And some of us, I believe, have been going to church for a long time, but some of us, we never had that chance to encounter God in this way. And for some of us, we have encountered God in this way, but it's overdue. So my hope and prayer today is that, you know, after our sermon, in our, you know, ministry time, we're going to be, you know, having a time where we can practice just sitting at his feet. No agenda, nothing else, just being there with him and just spending time with him. So you see, Jesus in this passage, once again, was revealing something so much more deeper in Martha's heart. He was revealing the unhealthiness that was coming from striving. And he was also doing that in my life. He was revealing that in my life as well. And you can see, not only was Martha worried and upset, but she was in a place of jealousy. She was being judgmental, and she was comparing herself. So if you jump back into verse 40, Martha says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." You see, Martha was comparing her work to what Mary was doing. And then she judged Mary because she felt that what she was doing was much more valuable than what Mary was doing. You know, I've definitely been in those seasons where it was the opposite, where I felt like I wasn't doing anything, where I felt like I wasn't doing enough for God. And what I would see is I would see other people being used by God in a mighty way. You know, people would be going out, preaching, they would be leading worship, and they would be advancing his kingdom. And I remember I would compare myself to them, and at the end of the day, I would feel so crappy about myself. And I would feel so down about myself. But you know, the truth is, did you know that many times God can actually do a greater work in you and through you when you're just being still? Sometimes we feel like we need to constantly be doing something, but God is just asking us to be still. There's definitely been times where I ignored God's prompting and I go full into the striving mode. And I would get into this unhealthy place, like I said before. I would compare myself to someone, especially someone that I felt was better than me. And I would either get jealous or I would be reminded of how terrible I was. And I would go home, and this is honest truth, I would go home and be depressed for days. Nobody would see me. Close my door, I'd just be depressed. And I'm not sure if you ever felt this way before, but for me in those moments, even then, I would try to strive and I try to do better. Because I wanted to prove to myself and other people that I wasn't worthless, that I wasn't useless. But even in those moments, I heard God calling my name. And he was saying, Young, sit with me. Just be here with me. You don't have to do anything to prove your worth. You don't have to do anything. I love you just the way you are. And this is why I believe Jesus was asking Martha to do what Mary was doing, to sit at his feet. You know, Jesus wasn't trying to compare Mary and Martha or try to make Martha look bad. But Jesus, in verse 42, he says this. He says, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And it's in this place, at the feet of Jesus, where we truly find our identity and our worth. Amen? Sometimes the voices of this world and the lies of the enemy, they just get so loud in our minds. And we hear the words, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not talented enough, you're not smart enough. And all this noise just keeps flooding in our mind until God says, stop. Stop. And he says, my child, sit here at my feet. Remember who you are. I love you just the way you are. And it's in this secret place where truth is revealed to us. It's in this place where we feel secure, where we gain our security. And Jesus says those moments that we have with him, those truths that we gain, they will never be taken away from us. See, at the end of the day, we don't have to worry about what the world says about us or what society is telling us we are. You know, I see a lot of the younger generation, we're constantly looking for approval even through social media. It's something that all the young folks do. They go on Instagram or Facebook and they try to see how many likes that they get. But, you know, all we really need to know is what God thinks of us and what he is calling us. And he is calling us today that we are worthy. And he is calling us his children. You know, sometimes I wonder what it would be like if we all knew our worth in God, right? There would be no more striving, there would be no more pressure, no more performance, no more comparison or jealousy or judgment. There would just be pure joy and freedom. And there would be this overflow of love for one another. And lastly, you know, in this passage, I know that we focused a lot on Mary and Martha, but I believe that out of anyone in the Bible, Jesus is the one man that truly knew his worth in the Father. If you go to Matthew chapter 3, and I don't know if it's going to be up there, but we see Jesus being baptized in the water by John the Baptist. And you know, at this time when he's being baptized, nobody knew who Jesus was. He wasn't a somebody at that moment. This is before Jesus did anything at all for God. This is before Jesus did any teachings, any healings, any miracles. And even then, what do we see? As soon as he is baptized in the water, we hear the words from the Father. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. God was affirming Jesus, not for the works that he did or the works that he will do, but he just wanted to lavish his love on him. And I believe today that God wants to say this to you too. He's also saying to us too, he's saying, you are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love, and I am well pleased. You don't have to do anything to prove your worth. Jesus, because of this one truth of knowing his worth in God, he was able to stand up against Satan and all his temptations. He didn't budge when the proud were pressuring him and pressing on him. And he was able to stand firm all the way to the very end, ultimately giving his life for us on the cross to set us free. Before I end, I actually want to share this one last story with you. I don't know if you guys know a couple named Robin and Roger, but I was actually introduced by Heejung and Pastor Sam, but these two people, they're amazing men and women of God. They hold inner healing sessions, and at that time, I really needed an inner healing session, so I went to go see them. You know, I think it was about like an hour or so away. I drove all the way there to go see them, and I remember in this session, they were walking with me, walking through some of the fears that I had. And I remember Roger asking me, he asked me, what is your biggest fear? And I told him, my biggest fear was that God would leave me and abandon me and not use someone like me because of my failures and my sin. And then I remember clearly Roger asked me another question. He said, Young, would you be okay living life knowing that even if from this point on you never do a single thing for God, but knowing that God still loves you and still accepts you and that you're still worthy in his eyes? Man, that destroyed me. It was one of the hardest questions that I ever had to try to answer. And honestly, I couldn't answer him. Because deep down inside, I knew that if I didn't do anything for God, then I would think that I was useless, I was worthless. It didn't matter what Roger was telling me or what God was telling me. I felt that for myself. And it took me about 2 years to finally really process through this question. And it was only recently, about 2 weeks ago, where I felt like I had some sort of deeper understanding. I remember I was driving to church, and you know, during that time in my car, I do a lot of contemplating, I do a lot of thinking, and I was really struggling with this. And I remember I had a very powerful moment with God. I had a moment of surrender with God. At the moment, I surrendered all my striving, all my longing for acceptance, all my longing for approval. I just surrendered it. And as I was surrendering all this to the Lord, I remember just feeling his love and his affirmation just wash over me. And I knew God was saying this to me. He was saying, Young, once again, you don't have to do anything to prove your worth. Just be here with me in this moment. I love you just the way you are. And I remember as I was in the car, so I know it's really dangerous, but I do this a lot, but I just started crying. And my eyes were like filled with tears and I couldn't really see what was going on, but I just couldn't help it. I was just so overwhelmed by his love. And I remember right after that moment, it was so powerful to me that I wrote and then posted on Facebook. And this is what I posted. I said, God, if everything is stripped from me, if no one remembers me and I'm unable to do another single thing for you, I want to live satisfied knowing that you love me. I want to live satisfied knowing that you remember me and that you will never leave me no matter what. Yeah, I just wanted to enter into a time where we can just sit at his feet. Just no more striving, no more trying hard, no more trying to do anything but just to sit at his feet. I just want to read the lyrics of the song once again. And it says, I look into your eyes of mercy. I look into your eyes of love. I remember that your heart is for me. I know that it is for me. I'm holding on to your divine love. I'm holding on and I'm not letting go. It's not by zeal, but it's that your love is strong. It's not by strength, it's that you're faithful. I know right now that I'm currently in that process as well with you. I'm not completely free from it. I'm still in this place where I'm striving and longing that affirmation, but I just want to encourage you, you know, not to give up on this journey. And I just want to encourage you that I'm in this with you as well. So let's push together and let's surrender everything to the Lord. So I'm just going to give you just about a minute just to sit there at the feet of Jesus. Just let him minister to you. Let him speak to you.